Our scripture from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Listen as I read from the Word of God. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one that Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And thanks be to Steve for preparing.
He is risen. Amen. So this whole Lent season, we've been focusing on the idea of dwelling in dissonance. Dissonance meaning a lack of harmony, a lack of resolution, right? And this difference between how it should be or how we would want it to be or how it's supposed to be and how things really are, and dwelling in the midst of that. So you'd think by Easter today, I could proclaim everything has been resolved. It's all harmonious now. And in many ways it is. We've been asking questions from the scriptures. Jesus truly the king? Is he the Messiah, the savior of the whole world? Has the kingdom of God arrived through him? You know, and resurrection does provide the answers or the resolution to those questions. And it's the centerpiece of the good news that gets shared from that point on, even today. You know, without the resurrection, everything else doesn't make sense. Resurrection vindicates Jesus from the judgment, the death that he experienced. But we'll see here in this scripture, the disciples still had to figure out what it all means. And really for us today, We're still in this place of figuring out fully what it means to know the resurrection and to live the resurrection. So that's what I want to speak on a little bit more today. I'm going to test a slide here. Is that readable? I made two different kinds in case we couldn't read that if it was too dark. Okay. So we want to talk about realizing resurrection this morning in two different ways. The first way is, as the slide suggests, to realize something is you come to a clear understanding, you comprehend, you finally grasp it's true, or you come to some realization. And we see this happening in our story. Even in my, on Wednesday when I gave a sermon title, if you notice, the previous slide said recognizing resurrection. I still needed some time to figure out fully where this was going. It was close, recognizing resurrection. But then April and I, we took a walk Friday night and we figured out realize would be a great word to encapsulate what I'm trying to say in two different ways, as we'll see. So in John and really all the gospel writers, there's this, they play on the theme of darkness and light in a couple ways. Darkness being like evil or those things that are opposed to God, and light being the goodness, the glory, the peace, the grace, the truth of God breaking through, but also darkness, like not understanding, and light coming to understanding. So Mary goes out while it's still dark. It's dark out, but also her understanding is dark. She doesn't understand resurrection, you know, and when she sees the empty tomb, she assumes that someone's taken the body. And this whole, this whole scripture, if you listened and saw it, it was all about people making observations, looking at upon things, coming to a greater understanding. Just some examples here. Mary comes and she observed that the stone was removed. John arrives at the tomb, peers in. Sees that it looks empty. Peter rushes right in, looks around, sees the grave clothes, the strips of linen, sees the head cloth laying there. And then it says, John, the other disciple, he saw and he believed. It's a different kind of seeing, different kind of observing. And if you look at the word as it was originally used, it means to come to a spiritual conclusion or make a spiritual perception. So John, at this moment, he realized what's going on here. He could realize resurrection, right? And John even makes this little parenthetical statement here. They still didn't understand that Jesus had to rise from the dead. And at this moment, John, it clicks on for him. And then Mary, still there, she's looking in and she sees these two angels. Woman, why are you crying? And then she turns around and she saw Jesus standing there. She saw Jesus, but she didn't see Jesus. She didn't recognize who he was. She thought he was a gardener. The two people on the road to Emmaus that Jesus joined, they saw Jesus, they talked to him, but they didn't see Jesus. They didn't realize this was Jesus, the resurrected one. Jesus asked the same question, why are you crying? And then he says, Mary, you know, probably in a very personal way that she'd heard many times before. And it's that moment that she gets it. She realizes resurrection, right? And she cries out, Rabboni, Rabboni. Jesus instructs her, I'm ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God. Go tell the disciples that. So she runs to the disciples. She doesn't tell them that, but she says, I have seen the Lord. You know, a really powerful statement, not just I've observed that, but I grasp what's going on here. Maybe not the full picture of what resurrection is going to mean, but I've seen the risen Savior, our risen Savior. So the significance of resurrection that we can see is when we begin to understand that the victory of the cross is completed here in this moment, that the love of God was poured out for all people. I love that phrase in the song. Which song was it that we sang Thursday? What wondrous love? Love, sorrow and love, mingled down. Just that the love of Christ and his sorrow were just poured out there for us. He took upon himself our sins and our alienation from God. You know, remember Thursday night, he said, "I am thirsty." Kind of he's there representing our thirst our thirst for God. My God, why have you forsaken me? You know, just that sense of alienation as he took our sins upon himself. And he broke the power of sin and death there. Paul said he disarmed the powers and authorities, making a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross, the triumph over evil. So because of that, the realizing resurrection means we understand we can unite with Christ in his death. We can unite with Christ in his resurrection. We can walk in newness of life. We can be resurrected with Jesus. I want to quote this scripture from 2 Corinthians. This is Paul realizing resurrection himself and wanting to share that with others. "For Christ's love compels us, because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but they should live for him who died for them and was raised again, that they might live a resurrected life, living it for the one who died for them and who was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer." Paul looked at Jesus one way before he himself realized resurrection. Now he looks at Jesus a new way. "Therefore," he says, "if anyone's in Christ, there is new creation. The new creation has come. The old is gone, and behold, the new is now here." That's realizing resurrection. "All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us this message of reconciliation. And so we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." So this is getting into the second way that we realize resurrection. To realize something also is to achieve something, to bring it into concrete existence. Who is it? The Philly player, he's a rookie. He played his first time in the big leagues. Crawford, yes, Crawford. On opening day, he could say, "I realized my dream," right? Like, here I am. On the field playing in the major leagues. Like, it's happened. It's a real thing. To bring it into concrete existence, so that resurrection isn't just something that we grasp. Like, I get it. Jesus rose from the dead and I know what that means, but it also means then that's being applied to my life. I'm living out that resurrection. I'm walking in newness of life. So I mentioned Paul, like he had his own moment of meeting the risen Savior, just like Mary did in our story. And that was on the road to Damascus. And so there was new creation in his life. At that moment, he realized who Jesus was, the risen one. And as we'll see, his life dramatically changed as he realized, his life realized resurrection. And so he prayed a prayer over the Ephesian church in Ephesians chapter 1. And really what he's praying is, I pray that you would, that resurrection would be realized in your life as well. I actually prayed it over us before communion on Thursday. And we studied this in Sunday school. And so I asked if Donovan and Joanna would read this part of, well, it's Paul's prayer. It's towards the end of Ephesians chapter 1. So listen for how Paul's praying that resurrection will be realized in their lives.
I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better.
I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people,
and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms.
Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way.
So Paul realizes or gets it that heaven and earth are coming back together again, or the realm of God, the place where God rules and God's glory and grace and love rules the day, is beginning to come together with earth, with us here. If you think about it this way, you have to imagine this two circles. One is this age, and one is the age to come. Okay. And in this age, scripture talks about how all the things that we would say, all the reasons Jesus came to us in the first place, sin, death, all of the violence, the brokenness, the injustice, and so forth. And then the age to come, scripture from the beginning talked about there's going to be this day when God will make all things new and his kingdom will come in all of its fullness. Jesus begins to bring those two ages or two realms together. Not fully yet, but there's an overlap. And so if you can picture two circles overlapping, in the middle there's going to be like an oval or football shape overlap, right? Hopefully you can picture that, where both are true. And that's where we're living. And that's what Paul is praying here, that in this time, Jesus has already won this victory for us. And I pray that you would see that, you know, that you would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation that you would realize resurrection for yourselves. And then that in this time, in this present time that we live, it's a time of hope. We hope right now that resurrection is breaking in to my life, to our church, to this world, that new creation is beginning to happen according to God's purposes. And we look forward to that glorious inheritance when resurrection will fully be in effect according to God's purposes. And in this time again that we live, we are believing and trusting again that incomparably great power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work right here in our midst, bringing about new creation. And that trusting that Jesus has in fact ascended to the highest place, the place above, name above all rule and authority, power and dominion. And everything's been placed under his feet, not just in the future, but now. Like we're beginning to get that. We're realizing that. And we, the church, are his body, the fullness of Christ in this world. And so just as he's been raised to this place of highest authority, we believe in this time that his authority has been given to us, that we can go out in his name and offer his hope and his healing to this world. So like thinking about the early apostles, as they're beginning to realize resurrection, their message, if you look in Acts, their message is always about resurrection. And they're sharing that with other people. Jesus, the risen one, and what that means. But also you see them carrying this new authority in Jesus' name. Like early on in Acts, Peter and John are walking through the temple, and there's this man who can't walk sitting there, who's begging. And they say, we don't have any silver or gold for you, but in the name of Jesus, this is what we have. In his name, stand up and walk. And he gets up and walks. Do we realize in this age, whatever it might be for us, that as we see where new creation needs to happen, that somehow we have the authority to step into that, to be an agent of Jesus, not only in prayer, but in whatever way we would offer our lives to bring life to those situations. Yesterday, we were watching a music video, like on YouTube, when you watch one, then another one pops up from what you've watched in the past. And it came up from Les Mis, I Dreamed a Dream. And the last stanza always strikes me as like the dilemma of this world. Like it encapsulates the brokenness of this world and why Jesus came. It goes like this: I had a dream that my life would be so different from the hell that I'm living, so different now from what it seemed. Now life has killed the dream I dreamed. And if you think about all the many people who that could be their testimony in this world, you know, in whatever way, and not like I dreamed of being on Broadway and it's been crushed, but like just I pictured life being so different than that. You know, I would love to experience what it means to be part of a family or a community where I'm loved and trusted. I long for security in whatever way security comes to us. I wonder what it's like to have joy and contentment, to live with purpose and meaning, to have peace with God and peace with others and peace with myself. Like, it's just so many ways that we might say life somehow has killed the dream I dreamed or what I expected. And as we put on the resurrection life and the authority of Jesus, somehow we're sent into those places to shine Christ's light so that they could realize resurrection too in their own lives. So I guess the big point here is that Easter isn't just a commemoration. We're not just celebrating what happened millennia ago with Jesus raised from the dead. But even though that's, we would say, is the biggest turning point of history, you know, we need to celebrate it and remember it and mark it. But realizing resurrection, is all about daily participating in it. Like, that's what we're invited to do by Jesus and by the gospel writers, the scriptural writers, that we would unite with Jesus in the cross and with resurrection and in his ascension. Like, it could be a prayer. I try to pray this in the morning. Jesus, may I unite with you in incarnation. Just like you went into the world to people, send me out today. However you'll use me. And I unite with you in death. Like, put to death the old self. And I unite with you in resurrection. Help bring new creation into my life and my world. And I unite with you in your authority. Like, I come under your authority, but also I receive whatever authority you want to give me to go out and be your ambassador. So that's a powerful prayer that we could pray. I'm not sure if that's from St. Patrick or not. That kind of sticks in my head. But actually participating, letting resurrection be realized in our lives. So just think about where in your life or where in this world have you seen resurrection? Have you seen new creation coming forth? Or where in your life Are you praying for resurrection for yourself, for your family, for this world? We live in resurrection hope. So I want to conclude with this. The typical thing on Easter is to say he is risen, or the Lord is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Mary, when she got back to the disciples, she said, I have seen the Lord. The first one, the Lord is risen, it's third person, like we're reporting it. Mary made it personal. I have seen the Lord. Like I have realized resurrection in my life, you know. So that can be an even more powerful statement on this day. So I want to do that. I'm going to say, we have seen the Lord. And I'd like you to respond, we have seen the Lord indeed. Okay? We'll make it personal. Especially, may it be a testimony that we actually have received resurrection. So, we have seen the Lord.
We have seen the Lord indeed.
Amen. May we live resurrection. May we... I forget the word. What's the R word? Realize that's terrible. My whole sermon was about it. Let's go from here, realizing resurrection. Comprehending it, understanding it, but also realizing it, that it comes upon us and we live it. Amen.